Man, isn't it amazing to be part of a church with young people in the next generation that can come and lead us in worship? That was amazing. Thank you so much to Josh and the whole worship team. And it's good to be with you guys this morning. You can go and flip your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to pick up. And it's great to be here with people in the auditorium. You know, and on Wednesday, there was four people in the auditorium. And now there's so many more of us. And a few of us are Matt and Sandy and Javelle. You didn't think I'd see you. I see you guys. Great to see you guys. North River Legends. We love them, man. Welcome back. I wish you could stay. I'm sure you're just visiting, you know. But we're going to be starting out a new series today called Spirit-Filled Relationships. And we're going to take the next month and really dive into how can we let the Spirit fill us in a way where we can love and serve and give, not how we want to, but how the Spirit calls us to. And so we're going to jump in this today. And my first point is pending. Phenomenal. Okay, your choice. Spirit, it's your choice. You can choose what type of relationships you want. You can either have relationships that are based off the Spirit, Spirit-filled relationships, or it's your choice. You can have worldly relationships. And so as we start out here, I want to look at what are some of those differences between when the Spirit leads us versus when the world leads us, and how does that look in our relationships? And we're going to jump right into Galatians 5 and verse 13. We're going to read here, and we're going to be able to read during this lesson, this entire section, and dive in to God's word. So let's look in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's such a great passage right here, and he reminds us, you know, when the Spirit comes, and what the most important thing about the law is. He actually says the entire law can be summed up in one sentence. It's crazy. It's crazy. Hundreds of years from Adam all the way to Moses, the entire Torah, the first five books of the Bible, can be summed up in one single sentence. Love your neighbor as yourself. And at the very core of who we are as Christians, you know what matters most? It's how we treat each other. And God has been training man since the very beginning how to love one another. And as we're talking about the Spirit, it has everything to do with our relationships. Let's look at how Jesus worded it in John 13. In John 13 and verse 34, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We know this verse, we love this verse, but I just want to remind you, what does Jesus put at the very core of what it means to follow him? It's love. He doesn't say, by the way that you pray or even read your Bible, the world will know you're my disciples. He doesn't say, by your faith, the world will know you're my disciples. He doesn't say, by your boldness or your courage. He says, the way people will know if you belong to me, it's how you treat other people and the way that you love other people. Why is love so important to Jesus? Why is that so important? Well, let's look at another verse in 1 John, in chapter 4 and verse 7. What does it say? Actually, I only put verse 8 and 10 up here. You can read the whole section. But in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is what? Love. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Why is love the very bedrock, the very essence, the deepest part of Christianity? Well, it's because the God we serve is love. He equals love. He's synonymous with love. The very character trait of love just describes who God is. What a great God we serve. It's amazing. And check this, godly love initiates. Godly love initiates. Because what is love? Not that we loved him, but long before we ever initiated to him, his love initiated to love us. So as we're starting here on faith-filled relationships, and of course we know that we're in our faithful together year-long theme, and we're gonna be able to talk about a lot of different things over the course of the year that we're really excited about. You know, how can we serve together? How can we give? How can we evangelize, be on the mission together? How can we help one another grow? How can we be hospitable? All this kind of stuff. But before we focus on how I can help you be like Jesus, or before we can focus on what can we do together to be like Jesus, I need to start with how am I loving like Jesus? And how can I initiate? Not, oh, I'm not going to forgive until they forgive me. Or not, I'm not going to be selfless until they're selfless to me. Or I'm not going to be humble until they apologize first. But for us to be spirit-filled and to love like God loves. Amen? Amen? And so what's so amazing, though, is that we have incredible examples of what spirit-filled relationships look like here at North River. And how glorious it is, what a privilege it is to be part of a body where there's spirit-filled relationships. It's amazing. You know, recently, Toy and I were very blessed through a spirit-filled relationship. One of the moms in the church approached Toya before March and said, "Can I do your laundry for the whole month of March?" Like, this actually happened. And then Toya was like, "Are you sure?" And she was like, "Yes, I'd love to do that." "Well, yes, definitely, please do that." And so she, twice a week, would come and drop off clean clothes and pick up our dirty clothes for the entire month of March. And then when she figured out that we were moving in the beginning of April, she said, "Can I do it for 2 more weeks until you move?" So for 6 weeks, this amazing disciple of Jesus desperately served us. And if you might go, "Well, I'm sure it's just, you know, someone that doesn't do much in the church. She probably doesn't have much responsibilities." This is a grown woman that has a whole family, that had served so many different people in the church, and yet the Spirit led her to love us, to serve us, and to sacrifice her own time and effort to give to us. Who does that? That's crazy. That's dirty. That's gross. That takes a lot of time. But you know, I tell you who does it. The Spirit of God. Amen. And it was the Spirit of God in her that really served us. It's so incredible. Another story that I love was a couple years back in the campus ministry. And some of you guys remember this. It's about Joseph Gooseby and Harrison Williams. And so Joseph Gooseby, he had borrowed Harrison Williams' Jeep in order to go get some tables for the Hope 5K Walkathon at Georgia Tech. And while he was driving Harrison's Jeep, he crashed it with no other cars involved, on his own, flipped it, and totaled his Jeep. And it was one of those stories, when I saw the picture of the Jeep upside down and there wasn't another car involved, Goose, are you okay? "Yeah, I'm okay, everything's fine." "Okay, cool." And I bursted out, like, "Dude, what is wrong with you? How did that happen?" And then I was like, "Oh no, how are they gonna figure this out? Like, they're both broke, Harrison needs a car, like, what would Satan want to do with this situation?" I mean, he could have gotten Harrison to just to embitter, get mad, curse Goose out, you know, get people talking about him, push him off, like take him to court. Goose could have ran from the ministry. Could have said, I'm out of here. I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to deny it. I want to get away from this so I don't have to, you know, own up to my responsibilities to figure this out. It could have caused a rift in the ministry. Who was on Harrison's side? Who was on Goose's side? And yet, with where Satan wants to destroy, the Spirit wants to move with love. So what happened? Harrison forgave Goose. He forgave him. And not only did he forgive him, he saw that Goose was embarrassed and he was shamed. And so he comforted him and he encouraged him. The Spirit led him to that. And then Goose, he took responsibility. He didn't run from it. He didn't deny it. He said, I'm broke, but I will figure out how to pay you back. And I'll work my tail off, get multiple jobs. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to pay you back for what I did because that was my fault. And not only was, but the Spirit wasn't done yet with just Harrison and Goose. The Spirit, when the ministry heard about this, the Spirit moved us to within a week, broke college students raised $3,000 to pay Harrison back so that Goose wouldn't have to. Isn't that amazing? You can't make stories like this up. That's not man-made. That is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love moving and transforming people. And yet, it's not just in grandiose big moments like that, is it? There's so many small moments, right? Where you notice a brother or sister in need that's hurting. And the Spirit leads you to, even though you're tired after work one day, to go be with them, to bring them dinner, or to pick up the phone and call and encourage them, love them, to pray with them. Or maybe it's when a brother or sister rubs you the wrong way. And man, you're ticked. Man, they touched, they knew your button and they pushed it. And you're mad. And all you want to do is dismiss them, dispel them. But instead of letting a bitter root grow up inside of you, you surrender to the Spirit in love, to pray, to wrestle, to forgive. And then you go have a conversation of reconciliation. Spirit-filled relationships are amazing. They're what this world is desperate for. But they're not amazing because of us. They're amazing because of the Spirit. Because the reality is, there's also world-centered relationships. Let's pick back up in Galatians chapter 5. And let's see this next little section right here of what it looks like when our flesh, what it looks like when when sin really has its way with us and in our relationships. So in Galatians 5 and verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, Spirit-filled relationships are so incredibly different than relationships controlled by the flesh and controlled by the world. And I know a lot of us, man, this scripture was one of those first scriptures that gave us conviction off of sin and about how we should run from the world. But I want you to relook at it. I want you to relook at it and just notice. Basically, all of these sins happen in relationships. They happen in the way that you treat other people. I mean, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, right? Where does immorality and impurity happen? Where does hatred and discord happen? Where do divisions and dissensions happen? Where does envy and jealousy, where does that happen? It's in relationships. It's in relationships. Sin is the biggest roadblock to thriving relationships. It's the biggest roadblock where God wants to bless you with incredible relationships. Satan wants to ruin your relationships. If you think, and you think about it for a second, about some of the relationships that have meant the most in your life that disappeared, that aren't there anymore, that broke apart. If you think about it, it will always trail back to some sin, to some piece of the flesh that came out and controlled that relationship. Sin is the roadblock to thriving relationships. And for me, I have to ask, you know, what does it look like when I do whatever I want in relationships? For me, it's honestly, I've always been self-centered. I've always been self-focused, egotistical type, and God has had to help me a lot. But sometimes it still comes out, and my selfishness will come out. You know, in fact, it came out this week. And a couple days ago, you know, so Toya's pregnant. You know, we're due in June. We're super excited about that. We're stoked. And for everyone that, all the women out there, all the moms, you are superheroes. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, we can clap to that. You know, that's just amazing. I am a strong advocate to strong men and how the strength of man has gotten torn out of this world and how God created strength for us to be strong. But I tell you what, watching Toya go through pregnancy, labor, and delivery with Cam, women are strong. Women are amazing. And so Toya's in the last trimester. And if you've gone through that, you know what she's going through. And so she's exhausted. And some days she really fights it. Some days she just wipes her out, right? And so this week, you know, I think it was Thursday night, that kind of happened. And she was exhausted. We try to get her to rest, not move as much. Let me get this for you. Let me get this for you. And it was a little bit later at night. And she was asking me, because we were trying not to let her move just to be able to relax and rest. And she was asking me, you know, to go get this or to go get that. Or, hey, babe, I forgot this. Can you go downstairs and get that? And all that kind of stuff. And if I'm honest, I wish I could say that every single time she asked me for something, my response was, yes, babe, whatever you like, I'm at your service. But the truth was, I got funky. And I got annoyed. Like, are you kidding? You need something. Why did you forget that downstairs? Like, what is going on? Like, I do you not realize I'm tired? I had a long day. Like, do you need this, this, and that? And I didn't say that to the Spirit, praise God. And I did talk to her about this beforehand. So. But I mean, what's wrong with me? My wife, she's carrying my child. She's been sacrificing her body to bless our family for 7 months. She is exhausted. It's like a marathon every day. And when she asks me just to go get a couple things for her, I get annoyed. How selfish can I be? When was the last time you had a moment like that? Where there was some sin that you have fought, that you've tried to throw off, that you thought you've mastered, then it creeps back into your life. And that bitterness or the lack of forgiveness or that selfishness rears its ugly head again, even though it's been a certain amount of time. And I know, just like me, we're all asking the same questions. We're all asking the same questions. How can I change? How can I have lasting change? I want to do whatever I can to be the most sacrificial, loving, selfless husband to my wife. But where can I find change? And I don't just want behavioral change. I want deep character, heart change. How do we find lasting transformational change in our relationships? Whether it's with your family, whether it's with your roommates, whether it's with your coworkers, how do you not just white knuckle change just for a little bit, but how do you transform from the inside out that lasts? How do we find this? And this is where you enter the Spirit. My second point is to partner with the Spirit in your relationships. To partner with the Spirit in your relationships, where it's not just up to me and you how we treat each other, but that we can surrender to the Spirit and then it's up to Him how we treat each other. But it takes a partnership to do that. Let's look one more time in Galatians 5 and keep reading in verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is such a powerful passage. I love this. When I look at the fruits of the Spirit, these nine traits, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Don't you want some of that in your life? I want to be a man full of those. Who doesn't want that? The whole world wants to be a man or a woman off of these things. But how do we find, how do we become men and women like this? Well, let's dive into just verse 22 and break it apart a little bit and see. Sound cool? So verse 22, let's look at this. It starts with the fruit, those first two words. I think that's so incredibly intentional. That what of the Spirit, it's the fruit that brings it. And what is fruit? You know, thank you, Google Dictionary, right? Fruit is the sweet and fleshy product of a tree or plant that contains seed and can be eaten as food. And it comes with a picture. Cool. But what is fruit? It's a production, it's a produce of a source. It's something that a source produces in you. So an apple tree produces apples. Okay, that's not rocket science. We got that. Okay, what's next? The fruits of what? The Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit is. This is so incredibly important. It's not the fruit of yourself. It's not the fruit of yourself. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You don't plant love in your heart. The Spirit plants love in your heart. You don't produce joy in your heart. The Spirit produces joy in your heart. It is the Spirit that moves, lives, and exists through our inner beings and changes us. It is a production not of ourselves, but of the Spirit. Amen? And what is that fruit? And all these traits, right? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Where do all those happen? In relationships. It's in relationships. The Spirit flourishes in relationships. It does not matter if you're gentle to a rock. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you're kind to a blade of grass. It doesn't matter. But it matters in interpersonal relationships, because God, from the beginning of time, has been teaching mankind how to love and to treat each other like Him. And so now that we have the Spirit, what's His main goal? His main goal is to transform the way we treat each other with love and with joy and with peace and forbearance and so on and so forth. You guys following me? But this goes back to the age-old question, okay? It goes back to the age-old question. How can I have lasting change? Is it my effort or is it the Spirit's effort? And honestly, this has been something that theologians and Christians have been kind of arguing, debating in the good ways and bad ways for thousands of years. But whose effort is it? I would respond, it is both. It is both. It is both. You have to surrender and the Spirit has to produce. Let me try to explain this in another way. So Toy and I just bought a house, okay? And we're really excited about that. In case you were wondering, Toy and I are here to stay, all right? We're putting down some roots. We bought a house in Marietta. Thank you, Michelle Dodd, Kendall Knight, helping us out. We're fired up about that. At the front of our driveway next to the garage, there's a rose bush. And when I saw this rose bush, oh, this is going to be awesome. My wife's going to drive home to roses every day. Thank you, God, right? I was stoked. And now, you know, now that it's spring, right? We've only been there for 2 months, right? There's rose bushes out in front of North River and other rose bushes all around town. Same bush, I looked it up, and they have dozens of roses. You know how many rose bushes our rose bush has? Four. And in fact, Cam grabbed one of them, so now there's three. And what's wrong with my rose bush? And so, I mean, the rose bush is made to produce roses. It wants to produce roses. It wants to be beautiful, but it doesn't. What's wrong with it? I did a little research now that, you know, I'm a homeowner, I gotta figure out these things, right? Roses like sun. Who knew? And so they like sun, they like a lot of sun. They like a lot of direct sun. This rose bush is kind of in a shadow. It doesn't get enough sun. It does not have full access to the sun that it needs to produce roses. Does it make sense? Why do I bring that up? Because so many of us have the Spirit in us, but we do not give the Spirit full access to our lives. We don't give the Spirit full access to the lives. The Spirit is made to produce these things in you. It wants to. It wants to transform the way that you treat your fellow man in incredibly flourishing, thriving ways. But the Spirit has never been in the business of forcing you to do a single thing. He waits for you to surrender. He waits for you to bow down. He waits for you to die to yourself and give him full access. A lot of us need to get back to surrendering. And not just half surrender, but full on surrendering, so there's nothing in our lives the Spirit can't touch. Because I'm worried for some of us, we let the Spirit transform over here, but then there's an access denied to over here. And there's a Spirit, you can transform the way that I love people. And I'll be a very kind person. But I tell you what, when someone rubs me the wrong way, you can't change the way that I forgive people. And I will let a bitter root grow up. Spirit, access denied. Or we can say, you know what, Spirit, I'm going to really let you change how I'm gentle with people. But you know what, I'll be gentle, but then as soon as someone kind of rubs me the wrong way, or as soon as I feel like being impure, my anger's coming out, or my impurity's coming out. You don't have access to my self-control. We have to full-on surrender to the Spirit and let him produce in us. Amen? So let's break this down even more. As we go back through the sections that we've read, if we continue on this analogy of fruit, I think that was a very specific word of trees, of fruit and stuff like that. Let's go through. Okay, so how do you take care of a tree? You water it, you kind of trim some of the limbs, and you give it sun, right? What are some of these ideas of things that we need to do to surrender? Well, if you look back in Galatians in verse 16, in chapter 5, it says, well, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. And that might be like giving water to the Spirit, right? Surrendering in that area. Verse 17 said, you are not to do whatever you want. So in situations, you stop what you're doing and you surrender to what the Spirit wants to do in you. But that takes a conscious thought, a conscious effort. In verse 25, it says, let's keep in step with the Spirit. You never accidentally start following the Spirit. It is always intentional. It is always intentional following the Spirit wherever he is going. That takes thought, it takes effort, but let me be clear. Even though we deny ourselves, even though we surrender, even though we intentionally walk in step with the Spirit, it is never our fruit. It is always the fruit of the Spirit. It is not us that transforms us, it is God that transforms us. And as we surrender to him, he does more than we can ever dare ask or imagine, and it flows out of us. Are you guys following me? This is absolutely crucial. And I think some of us really need to take a hard look. Some of us are bent on the white knuckling. We just white knuckle, I gotta force myself, I gotta stop, I gotta deny everything, and it's all me. And we don't leave room for the Spirit. And you're wondering why you don't have lasting change. Others of us, we're over here and we're just kind of lollygagging around, hoping the Spirit leads us, hoping the Spirit kind of flows, you know? I don't know why I did that, but hopefully that gave you an impression. And so, but we won't surrender. We won't deny. We won't die to ourselves. It's a beautiful balance where the Spirit wants to partner with us in our transformation. The Spirit wants to partner with us in transforming the way that we treat each other. So who are we going to be at North River? We're going to be men and women who praise the Spirit for bearing fruit in our lives. And that we praise the Spirit for letting us take part in his love, in his joy, in his peace, in his self-control. But who else are we going to be? We're going to be men and women that do not gratify the flesh, that give full surrender to the Spirit to transform us. Amen? Let's close out some practicals and we'll take communion. Okay, number one. How do we walk in step with the Spirit every day? Well, first, it starts with surrendering to the Spirit every morning. I told you guys about how on Thursday, I was selfish with my wife. On Friday, I confessed it in my D group, right, to Nick and Cody. And when Nick, this is what Nick brought up to me. And he brought up, bro, you know, he was talking about some stuff in his life too, and just how we need to make sure that when character traits start coming out that are not of the Spirit in our lives, after a few days, after a few weeks, if we start noticing the flesh more than noticing the Spirit, it always goes back to how am I surrendering to God in the morning? And if what you're doing with God is not surrendering to him in a way that lets the Spirit live through you, then you got to change up how you surrender to him in the morning. You know, for me, I have to constantly bounce back between, you know, a lot of scripture reading, just one verse, really chewing on it and diving in, or going out and praying and have a long prayer walk, or just going and sitting with God and just letting Him transform me. And I have to change up how I surrender in order to figure out what piece of me hasn't fully surrendered yet. Some of us, I think, have become way too rote in the way that we have our quiet times. And we need to keep it fresh, not just to keep us interested, but in order to surrender to the Spirit. Number two, give over one area of a relationship where you feel like the flesh is winning. So what I want to call all of you guys to do this week is to think through your relationships, to think through, you know, kind of the pluses, the minuses, the weaknesses, and find one. Find one where you feel like the flesh is winning out. Maybe it's someone that you live with. Maybe it's one of your roommates, where there's something unsaid that needs to get figured out. Maybe it's in your family with a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a spouse, a child, where you feel like maybe there's some anger, or maybe there's a forgiveness that needs to happen. Something where the flesh is winning right now. I'm gonna call you to give that over this week. How do you do that? Pray through it, wrestle through it, and then follow that day. Follow the Spirit that day. Then the next day, pray through it, wrestle through it, and follow the Spirit that day. The next day, pray through it, wrestle through it, and follow through that day. And it won't all happen at once. Fruit takes time. You don't plant an apple tree and apples come out the next day. But it takes time. But watch what the Spirit does in your life. And then lastly, I want to call all of us at North River to memorize Scripture. How about that one? We haven't memorized Scripture in a while at North River, at least collectively as a whole. I know we do it a lot individually. But let's memorize Galatians 5, 22 to 26 this week. Let's memorize the fruits of the Spirit and how we belong to Jesus and how we crucified the flesh and the desires of our hearts and all that kind of stuff. Let's memorize this together and write it on our hearts. And how does that help you surrender to the Spirit? Well, in the moment, day to day, how do I, in different situations, follow the Spirit? Not just surrendering in the morning, but throughout my day. Well, in the moment, you can quote it. You can surrender to the Spirit. You can remember who you are in Christ and how you're a man or a woman of God that's Spirit-filled, and let that propel you and surrender in that specific situation to change you. You let the Scripture transform you. But with all this stuff, it's not watch what you do. It's not watch how you just changed yourself through these actions. It's watch the Spirit work in you. And watch the Spirit transform you through this incredible partnership with God for some crazy, insane, just mind-boggling reason. God wants to be partners with us. And the Spirit wants to partner with us to bring His love to each other. Thank God we can choose this and partner with the Spirit together. And as we transition into communion, what we remember on the cross, while we remember Jesus dying for our sins and being resurrected, it was also His death that let the Spirit come down to this earth. Remember what He said to His disciples at the end of John? That He had to leave in order to send an advocate? So everything we've been talking about, the only reason where we're able to partner with the Spirit now is because what Jesus did on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. And now we can have the Spirit living inside of us. So let's remember that as we pray and remember the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood, and the body of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we'll never understand Your love. We'll never understand how amazingly You cherish us and love us. And for some crazy reason, You want to partner with us to bring Your love into this world. No matter how many times we mess up, You don't give up on us. And God, I'm so grateful for how Jesus died and let the Spirit come and live in us 2,000 years ago. And God, I pray now that we can be men and women that praise the Spirit and let the Spirit produce its fruit inside of us. And God, I pray that we won't gratify the flesh, that we'll fully surrender, that we'll bow down, we'll die to ourselves so that You can live through us. Thank You for making that possible through the cross. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.